Lycoming officially adopts autogas. IATA says airlines could post breathtaking record losses this year. And BAA's operation of London Heathrow wins low marks. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 3rd, 2008. Acknowledging growing concerns about the availability of aviation-grade 100 low-lead gasoline, Lycoming on Monday announced an unleaded autogas approval program for its standard compression ratio O360 and IO360 engines. Unleaded fuel will have to be rated at 93 AKI and meet additional standards to qualify as safe in aviation applications. Approval is expected by fall. Lycoming stresses the program will apply to engines only. Aircraft certification approval will have to be obtained separately. Lycoming says its piston engines power more than half the world's rotary wing and fixed wing general aviation fleet. The International Air Transport Association, whose members account for 93% of international traffic, says that if fuel prices don't retreat, airlines could report losses as high as $6.1 billion for 2008. The new number is a stunning reversal of the group's April 1st projection of a $4.5 billion net industry profit. IATA's actual expectation for the year is losses totaling $2.3 billion, assuming gas drops again to an average of $107 a barrel for the year. Airbus COO John Leahy, who heads the company's sales operation, told the group he remains hopeful that current prices are merely a bubble. Bloomberg reports a unanimous consensus among attendees to call on governments to regulate airports more tightly, facilitate mergers, cut taxes, invest in new planes for state-run carriers, and take steps to ensure that the cost of energy reflects its true value. IATA also warns labor unions to limit pay claims. One of the big problems at airlines right now is difficulty getting passengers to pay higher ticket prices to offset rising fuel costs. At the IATA meeting, Director General Giovanni Bisignani seemed to vent some of that frustration in comments about Heathrow Airport in London, where he says the UK Civil Aviation Authority increased charges by 50% over the last 5 years and plans another 86% hike over the next five. The Daily Telegraph reports he joined politicians and business leaders in a chorus of criticism of declining service at London's main airport. Quote, "Service levels are a national embarrassment. Could anyone in this room ask for a fare increase of 86%? Nobody. That only happens in monopoly land," unquote. Bisignani called the CAA the world's worst regulator. Heathrow is operated by BAA, which started in the 1960s as the British Airports Authority, but is now a privatized concern owned by Ferrovial, a Spanish company. BAA has come under close scrutiny since April's disastrous opening of Heathrow Terminal 5, an occasion marked by hundreds of canceled flights and tens of thousands of lost bags. The CAA admits that airlines and their passengers deserve better service and said BAA will pay fines for that April debacle, but issued a statement defending the increased airport charges. Quote, "These airport charges are paying for the modernization of Heathrow in terms of both facilities and service for the direct benefit of the passenger," unquote. A British budget carrier faces criminal prosecution for numerous safety breaches. According to the Sunday Times, Fly Globespan is accused of operating a Boeing 757 last year from New York to Liverpool, Ireland, even after both the aircraft's engine pressure ratio gauges failed on takeoff. The pilot did not report the issue until the airliner reached Liverpool. Not only did the 200-passenger airliner complete that June 28th flight, but Fly Globespan then allegedly dispatched the plane back to New York with the inoperative equipment. The airliner was later grounded at JFK International while the gauges were repaired. Fly Globespan was required to report the problem to the CAA within 4 days, but the problem did not come to light until the FAA reported the issue to British authorities nearly 3 months later. Two managers were replaced following that incident, but the Times adds that Fly Globespan is also accused of operating two other aircraft without proper authorization to return the planes to service, one following a ground collision, the other following a lightning strike. The CAA suspended the airline's ETOPS certification for 2 weeks last October due to undisclosed problems. Then this January, an engine caught fire on a Fly Globespan plane that had departed from Orlando, Florida. The carrier now must appear before the City of Westminster magistrates in July on criminal charges. Investigators tell the paper they're particularly worried the incidents are indications that Fly Globespan and other budget carriers may be foregoing maintenance to offset high fuel prices. If convicted of any one of the charges of endangering an aircraft and its passengers, Fly Globespan faces an unlimited fine. Coming up next, Champion Air and the Boeing 727 end passenger service in the U.S. Two survive a helicopter crash atop a Michigan hospital. And Embraer sells a military fighter to a controversial private security firm. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WASP GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WASP GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. VRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a VRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 3rd, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. ANN's News Spy link was used over the weekend by a former employee of Champion Air, who has contributed photos of the carrier's last weekend in operation. The charter airline shut down, as announced on Saturday, in the face of skyrocketing fuel prices, a fleet of thirsty Boeing 727s, and the loss of contracts to transport NBA teams and provide flights for Northwest Airlines subsidiary MLT Vacations. The newly out-of-work contributor, who asked to remain anonymous, took it pretty well. Quote, "I'm not going to discuss or debate the circumstances, only to say that the company responsibly closed out operations without leaving passengers stranded or filing for bankruptcy," unquote. The closure also marks the end of 727 passenger carrying service in the U.S. A few of Champion's 16 727s will live on in service with foreign carriers, but many will be permanently grounded, never to fly again. One of them, N697CA, was the last 727 to come off Boeing's assembly line. The former employee's photos can be seen at aero-news.net. He closed by saying, quote, "It is sad to see the 727 fade from service and to see an outstanding group of people who loved what they did scatter to find new opportunities. The final aircraft was ferried out with logos painted over, the Champion call sign never to be used again. Goodbye, old friend. We will miss you," unquote. Officials have released the identities of the pilot and passenger who escaped serious injury Thursday when a medevac helicopter crashed into a rooftop helipad in Grand Rapids. The Hilo was operated by 61-year-old AeroMed chief pilot Raymond Sampson, who was accompanied by 57-year-old passenger Willard Elliott. The Detroit Free Press reports Elliott is an FAA examiner, and the accident flight was a commercial recurrency check ride. As ANN reported, the Sikorsky S-76 hit the helipad atop the 11-story Spectrum Health Butterworth Hospital in downtown Grand Rapids. Patients on the 7th, 8th, and 9th floors were relocated due to damage from the fire, water runoff, and fuel leakage. The accident occurred during takeoff, not on landing as originally reported. After rising 30 to 50 feet off the roof, the men reported hearing a pop just before the Sikorsky yawed to the right. The main rotor hit the top of an elevator shaft, and the machine fell to the roof. Witnesses said the tail rotor clipped a radio tower on the roof, but that has yet to be confirmed by investigators. Sampson and Elliott were able to escape from the wreckage before it burst into flames. The men were rescued by firefighters after clinging to ductwork several feet below the helipad to escape the fire. Elliott was treated for minor injuries and released from Butterworth Thursday evening. Sampson remained hospitalized in fair condition Friday after suffering a collapsed lung. Spectrum AeroMed says it has taken its remaining helicopters out of service indefinitely. The Associated Press cites a Brazilian newspaper in reporting that EP Aviation, a subsidiary of controversial U.S. military security contractor Blackwater Worldwide, has purchased a fighter plane from Embraer. The 314B1 Super Tucano propeller-driven fighter is the same one used by the Brazilian military, but was reportedly delivered without the wing-mounted 50-caliber machine guns, which are normally standard equipment. The price, according to the Estado de São Paulo newspaper, was $4.5 million, and delivery reportedly took place at the end of February. The FAA website confirms the plane's N number is registered to EP Aviation. EP says it has 33 planes and helicopters registered with the FAA, but only one from Embraer. This may be Embraer's first sale of a military aircraft to a private company. Brazilian law prohibits the sale of arms to companies or for use in existing conflicts, but the paper reported this deal was approved by Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva after discussions with the U.S. government. U.S. support for the sale will add to the controversy surrounding Blackwater. The world's largest private security company is already under investigation by a U.S. federal grand jury for its involvement in the shooting deaths of 17 Iraqi civilians and may face weapons smuggling charges, which it has already denied. Delays in the development of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner are frustrating customers everywhere, but airlines which hesitated and became among the last to order faced the longest delays of all. The Russian parliament stalled an Aeroflot order for the Dreamliner, playing Boeing against Airbus for months in 2006 and 2007. The parliament wanted to protest U.S. foreign policy and was hoping an order for new airliners could be used as leverage to get Airbus to bring some work on its new aircraft to Russia. By the time the carrier finalized its order with Boeing for 22 Dreamliners, it was near the end of a waiting list which now numbers 58 airlines and 857 airplanes. To make matters worse for Aeroflot, Boeing's adjusted delivery schedule not only delays the start of deliveries, but projects fewer completions per month after production starts. That means the further down the waiting list you are, the longer the delay gets. Reuters quotes a source at Aeroflot in reporting the carrier's first Dreamliner isn't expected now until 2016 at the earliest. Boeing, meanwhile, is hustling to stay on its twice-delayed program calendar. The next milestone is the first power-on, which is supposed to happen later this month. Still ahead, American settles with its skycaps in Boston. The Red Bull Series wows spectators in Detroit. And the show must go on at a small California air show. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 3rd, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Bowing to pressure Friday from some of its lowest paid workers, American Airlines agreed to drop a $2 per bag fee for check-in service curbside at airports around the United States and will lift a ban on tips for skycaps at Logan International Airport in Boston. Skycaps for American at Logan have agreed to drop a federal claim in exchange. As ANN reported, that claim accused the airline of retaliating against the skycaps for their win in a recent lawsuit against American by imposing the ban on tips as of May 1st. According to the Boston Globe, last month a jury in U.S. District Court in Boston awarded $325,000 to a group of 9 current and former SkyCaps to compensate for tips they lost when the airline implemented the curbside baggage fee in September 2005. So how much does a SkyCap make before tips? American's SkyCaps at Logan were paid $2.63 an hour before the airline started that $2 check-in fee. They were raised to $5.15 an hour when the fee started, which is still well below $5.85, the current federal minimum wage for employees who don't receive tips. The SkyCaps protested that passengers thought the new $2 fee replaced the tips, severely cutting their income. When the no-tipping policy was instituted, SkyCaps say they were promised a raise in their base pay to $12 an hour. Now that the tips are back, that raise seems unlikely. There's another class action suit against American, too, filed by SkyCaps at other U.S. airports, and it parallels the Boston suit, claiming that SkyCaps lost income from tips when the airline started charging for curbside check-in 3 years ago. Huge crowds lined the shores of the Detroit River Sunday in the first-ever Red Bull Air Race to take place on the border of two nations, the U.S. and Canada. An estimated 750,000 spectators watched as U.S. pilot Kirby Chambliss ran the course in 1 minute 12.08 seconds to beat Britain's Paul Bonhomme by just 0.15 seconds. It was Bonhomme's first loss of the season after winning in Abu Dhabi and San Diego. The Brit still leads the competition with 26 points for the season, but Chambliss proved he can be beaten. Austrian Hans Arch, who joined the series just last season, took third with a clean run and a time of 1:12.73, beating American Mike Mangold's 1:15.44. Arch is proving a worthy competitor, taking second place in Abu Dhabi, fourth in San Diego, and now third in Detroit. Racing in Detroit was hampered by heavy winds that forced the cancellation of the qualifying sessions on Saturday. After two back-to-back stops in the U.S., the competition now moves on to Stockholm, Sweden, July 5th and 6th. It's turning out to be a tough year for air shows in the U.S. Many have simply been canceled as avgas prices run wild and Americans look for discretionary expenditures they can cut. But the Ramona Air Show in California, northeast of San Diego, decided to try and make a go of it, albeit with a reduced budget and a trimmed list of acts. The show is well known in the region for its friendly small-town feel and the diversity of display aircraft, ranging from small high-performance aerobatic planes to large fire bombers. The event was held over the weekend at the rural Ramona Airport, a small picturesque airfield surrounded by country roads and rock-strewn mountains. Part of the strategy to make do with less was explained by show chairwoman Carol Fowler, who told the San Diego Tribune, quote, "We ended up doing more to attract kids," unquote. That included filling in the schedule with RC model aircraft and free airplane trading cards. The static displays were augmented with classic and modified cars. The tactics, and maybe a little help from the cancellation of the nearby Wings Over Gillespie Air Show in El Cajon this year, allowed Ramona to stay afloat. Cheers were reportedly the loudest after the water drop demonstration by Cal Fire crews. Many local residents were affected by the Witch Creek fire in 2007, and proceeds from the air show go to families of firefighter pilots who have died in the line of duty. And finally, in contrast to the tight budgets at small U.S. air shows, an Indonesian businessman dropped about 100 million rupiah from an airplane Sunday as part of a promotion for his new book entitled Marketing Revolution. And he certainly created one, circling 8 times over a soccer field in the city of Serang, about 40 miles west of Jakarta. Tung Desem Werengen emptied bag after bag over the crowd below. CNN reported that excited onlookers grabbed what they could as young and old fought for fistfuls of cash. Millions of Indonesian citizens live on $2 a day or less, and food and fuel are rising in price like they are everywhere else. Werengen said he would rather share the money for a promotional campaign with people who need it than spend it in more conventional marketing channels. The stunt was watched closely by U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, who was unaware until Sunday that money could be dropped from a fixed-wing aircraft. Okay, I made that part up. It's an inside joke. Google Helicopter Ben and you can find out more. By the way, the 100 million rupiah that Werengen dropped is equivalent to about $10,700 US. At least that is until Helicopter Ben achieves parity. And that's the latest from Aero News. And no, Austrian economics has nothing to do with the price of a Rotax 914. Remember to check out the ANN special feature today. I'll be talking with Dee Whittington of the Virginia Regional Festival of Flight, which returns this month with a new name in a new city at a new airport. And if you haven't done it already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.